worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
I take the scenic route to my jokes.
Mickey.
I'm sure there are people that know how to be happy.
And Lazy E.
I stole from God.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
Yes, and welcome. My name is Crisco. I am the host of A Freak Accident. Of course, I'm joined by Lazy E and Mickey.
Nanu nanu again.
Yes.
I'm actually here today.
You're here pretty much all the time. There was only that one time when you were at WrestleMania that you weren't here.
That's true.
You're good at being here. I appreciate it.
Well, mentally, we can't say that quite.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah. Our website is afreakaccident.com. Send us an email, freaks@afreakaccident.com. As mentioned, we will solve your problems. Any problem you have, Mickey is prepared to help you with your cocaine habit.
And we'll send you a sticker.
Yes, yes. Include your address in the email and we will send you a free sticker. But that's, email us about anything. That's fine. But the offer's on the table to solve your problems because we give great advice.
I like how we just skimmed over the cocaine. Like we just...
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Well, this is how we solve the cocaine problem. Sniff the sticker.
There you go. It smells equally good, I promise.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the same effects.
It might.
Depending how much money you're going to send us in the mail.
I don't know what they put in that ink. Anyway, again, freaks@afreakaccident.com. While you're at the website, by the way, you can find links to every single last social media page that we have. Just click connect on the menu bar and you'll find all the buttons there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Click on them. And don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes or Google Play Music. And be sure to leave us a good review as well. Every good review helps us climb a little bit higher in the charts. And we would appreciate being... more popular. So
yeah, it's, I mean, something I've never been.
Isn't that what every podcaster wants, is a bigger audience?
I just want people to like me.
I like you fine, buddy.
Thank you. Mickey?
Nope.
No.
Come on. You had to know what you were going to get when you asked that question.
50-50. That's the best odds I've ever had. I'll take it.
I don't know.
He's very optimistic.
I was going to say, Mickey's like 80-20.
No, no. I mean in the room.
In
I
the
got
bag.
50-50.
Oh, in the... Okay, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. Her, it's like... 95-5.
Chances Mickey will like something. 80-20, no.
Okay. That's, fair enough.
Yeah. You know that that's accurate, too.
I'm okay with that.
Did I mention all the stuff that I needed to mention?
Yeah, no,
I
you
think
did.
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Again, freakaccident.com.
Yeah, I think with Mickey with TV, it's more like 99-1 that she hasn't seen it.
You're giving her one?
I give her one just because it might be an old show.
Yeah. I'll tell you what show you need to be watching, though, and I have to talk about it because my head is going to explode.
What's this?
This is the theme song to Stranger Things.
I haven't seen this yet.
You've heard everybody talking about it, though, haven't you?
Oh, my God. All over the place.
You've probably heard it, too.
We watched the whole thing.
Did you? Oh, yep. You watched it already. Right
that
on.
That happened.
There's that 1% yep. I was talking about.
Oh, so see, I gotta give it to you then. Yeah, I actually just finished it a day or two ago. And I'm like, I'm on a high from it because it was so damn good. I can't even really describe what was so good about it. It was just awesome.
It was old sci-fi.
Yes, it
That's
was.
That's what it was.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. It was literally, they made it, you can kind of tell in the theme here too, and in the opening credits, it's right out of the 80s.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, the music immediately, yeah. It's like synths.
Yeah, they wanna, made wanna, it wanna, wanna. Based on like your war games. They made it based on like Short Circuit, you know,
yes.
all these different 80s movies, you know, the Labyrinth. Was that an 80s movie? It was,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. It's like all these different movies, there's kids, you know, the precocious kids that, you know, endeavor to solve a problem that any other kid would be crapping his pants underneath his bed, but of course these kids are brave and they've got it together and they're going to go out and solve things, and it's just awesome. Just awesome, awesome story, great characters. I mean, my only complaint was that it was only 8 episodes.
Well, they will be more.
Oh, well, I mean, I think a second season is gotta be a lock.
Yeah, I think they're already in filming of second season.
No, actually, it hasn't been confirmed that there's going to be one yet. But I mean,
I thought I heard that. But
here's the thing, though. This has been, I think I read somewhere that this has been the most downloaded thing on Netflix ever. So, it's because that's even, and I'll be honest with you, this is probably my favorite thing that I've seen on Netflix in terms of its original programming anyway. I mean, I really liked Daredevil, really liked Jessica Jones, but there was just something about this, man. Maybe it's because it had that old school sci-fi, old school horror movie, that kind of noir feel to it that I just ate it up. I don't know.
The great thing about Netflix is you get shows like that and they don't have to depend on ratings. They'll give them a chance. More than likely, you'll get a second chance on Netflix. The bad thing is, because they're not set on a schedule, one of my favorite shows, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
That new season isn't coming until April 2017.
Right, yeah.
Which might be the same for this one.
This one's probably going to be, because you got to figure, I mean, if it's their most downloaded program, they're definitely going to ask for a second season.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked if they didn't. But when they finally give it the green light for a second season, then they have to actually get everybody together. They've got to film. They've got to produce. And then they've got to actually put it out. So yeah, post-production and everything else. So it's probably going to be, geez, I would say this time next year before we even get a release date for the second season. It's probably, you're talking 2018 before we get more of this show.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age where now you have fall programming, spring programming, but with Netflix, it's like, you're waiting.
But yeah, I loved it, though. This show was great.
I think I can appreciate the waiting instead of the instant gratification. I'll want to watch the show more.
Yeah.
Poor murderer. Her boyfriend.
Yeah, but that's eight episodes. I mean, and you know what? I can complain about that there was only eight, but I've always kind of said, don't take more time than you need to tell the story you want to tell. You could have, they could have did 10 and they could have did two episodes that were duds. Instead, like, I was on the edge of my seat every single episode. And not getting into spoilers, just it's awesome. It's a trip. It's a cool concept. The characters are great. It's a lot of fun. It's got that old school vibe of a movie of yesteryear, which is really, really refreshing in today's modern day. Just explode everything with CGI and special effects blockbuster type thing. So it's awesome. 5 out of 5, I'd rate it.
Do they reference the past? Like, or is this in the now time?
No. This takes place in the 80s.
Okay.
83.
Okay. That's my birth year.
Yes.
Awesome. That's cool. Now I'm going to watch it just because of that.
There's a lot of references to, like, Dungeons and Dragons.
My birth?
No.
Maybe the second season.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
That's kind of a big deal when it happened.
I know.
You know?
That's when expectations went lower.
Maybe it'll be one of those things where somebody's walking down a hallway of, like, a newspaper, and on the wall is one of those framed articles, Lazy E, Born.
Yeah, that's all that headline was that day. There was no other part of the paper.
There was no other news.
No.
The world knew.
The world knew. You know, Howard Stern's kid was born that day, was on TV, no one cared.
Yeah.
I was born.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because you were going to be the inheritor of Howard Stern's mojo.
Yes.
Let's go with
that. Yes, yes. Funny story. Have I ever told you about what happened when I was born? The confusion that happened?
No, go ahead.
So,
hold on, wait, let me set the mood.
It was a dark and stormy night. July 27th,
incidentally, I think this show started on a dark and stormy night, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, I was born at 9:45 p.m. I was a pain getting out. I was a C-section baby because I wasn't small.
You weren't an E-section baby?
Ah, no, I was 10 pounds when I was born.
E came about by way of the C. It all originated, though, with the...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. but I was too big, so they had to rip me out. So they did, you know, grab me, toss me out. But apparently...
Picture, like, the chest burster from friggin' Alien.
Apparently, girls are normally, typically, when they're born, bigger than guys. They typically are the way more...
Girl babies are bigger than
boy
babies? Yeah,
they're taller and they weigh more. So, when they had to wrap me up in a blanket, they didn't have a blue blanket. So out I go. First viewing of the family gets to see me. And they go, oh my God, it's a girl! Because I'm in a pink blanket. I experienced my first moment of disappointment
and shame,
sadness,
shame,
embarrassment within about 5 minutes of myself being born. My life was set.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
It set the tone.
It explains a lot.
Pink blanket. I have a lot of anger.
That should be your quotational nickname, Lazy Pink Blanket E.
The Pink Blanket Lazy E. Change the intro to the show.
Yeah, there you go. We'll fix it. Yeah,
yeah, in post.
Right.
Yeah.
Like everything we do.
Yeah.
You want to hear what we got on the show this week, though?
Yeah, what do we got going on?
It's a dynamite episode, as always. We've got a news update.
Oh, those are my favorite.
We are going to dump so much stuff on your head.
Give me something. Give me something to wet my whistle.
Let's see. Fleeing the planet may only be... It will only take 20 years to find another place to live in the universe, Mickey.
Yeah, okay.
That's something to excite you, right? Ooh, or rather, it would only take 20 years to get there, maybe.
Great.
Also, I've heard there's a new mayor in town, but it's something you would never expect.
Woof. We've got another edition of Figure Out the Fall Premieres.
The last one.
The last edition. Boy. It's the CBS edition. We have 5 psychological syndromes you've never heard of. So we're going to see if we have them.
Oh, God.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, if you've never heard of them, how do you know if you have it?
I know. That scares me.
We may find something out about ourselves. We've got music you can use, some new songs we're going to be reviewing, and we have a SummerSlam recap with the Doc Chad Matthews, our wrestling correspondent from lordsofpain.net.
Yes, he is back.
It's all on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident. Thank you for being here.
You gotta know when to hold 'em, when to fold 'em, when to walk away, and when to run. On second thought, forget all that. Just grab the table and take what's yours. This is A Freak Accident.
News update.
It's your number... news source, A Freak Accident.
It's the number one news source at afreakaccident.com.
Yes, we are the number one podcast for news that you happen to be listening to right now.
Yes, all that is true.
Perfect.
Mickey, would you argue any of that?
Nope.
Good. All right. Are we ready to get into this news update today?
Let's
we got a lot to cover. So let's do it. Yeah, this is the theme song for Ryan Lochte now. After it came out, we kind of hinted at this on last week's episode when we were talking about the Olympics. His whole story was that he and a couple of our other Olympic swimmers had been robbed at gunpoint in Rio. And of course, we believed him because...
Look at Rio.
Exactly. Yeah, Rio. Turns out he lied, made up the whole thing.
Why?
And he admitted to lying, too. People were being all conspiracy-like, being like, there's 3 minutes missing from the tape, though. Who knows what could have happened in there? It's like, no, he admitted to making up the whole thing and exaggerating the entire ordeal.
Why?
Because he was drunk, his friends were drunk, they left a party, they had to pee, and in the process vandalized a gas station.
Oh, so they did damage to somebody else's property.
Yes.
See, here I thought maybe they just, like, lost all of their stuff.
No. Yeah, that would have been maybe more excusable if it's like, oh, we just lost our stuff. We decided to blame it on some invisible people. No, they actually peed all over the place, broke a door, and vandalized this gas station. And then I believe police did show up to apprehend them. And then I guess, like, they gave them some money and the police let them go. But it was like, yeah, they completely made up the whole thing about being robbed because they were trying to cover up the fact that they were a bunch of irresponsible a-holes.
Wow. Yeah. And he got dropped from a lot of sponsors.
And rightfully so.
This is why we can't have nice things.
You're right. We can't even have nice athletes. Effectual, but... stupid. Still stupid.
One of my favorite memes that came out, because Speedo was one of the ones that dropped him.
Okay.
And it said, it showed Speedo with him on there. It goes, Speedo supports a lot of D's, but not this D.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Lochte, you idiot.
'Cause I'm a liar!
Yeah. Get.
You're a liar!
Yeah. Drowned next time.
Yeah.
That was kind of brutal.
Yeah.
What you won't do for love.
Apparently you'll do a lot more than we thought.
Another stupid story from a stupid person. This one in Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Ian!
Wait, now we know what happened to him. Let's find out.
We know what his eventual fate was anyway. Now, this is a University of Pittsburgh student was trying to impress his date. So he took this girl that he was out. He was 22 years old. He took her to a rooftop. I guess to admire the stars or whatever. Romance.
Yeah.
That's romantic.
Get a little picnic table out there, have it under the stars. Mickey doesn't care because she doesn't know anything.
You would be correct.
Yeah, she's like, just get me a Mickey D's.
get Mickey a coffee and...
lottery tickets.
Yeah,
there you go.
And she'll be happy. That's all you need for her.
Have her heart.
But anyway, he took her up to the roof and he decided, well, I'm going to impress her. I'm going to show her that I could jump from this building to the next building, from rooftop to rooftop, like Spider-Man.
Can you guess what's going to happen here?
Yep.
Would you be impressed if a guy could do that? Like, if Murderer told you, Mickey, look, I can jump from building to building like a superhero, would you be impressed?
No. No, I would not.
What would you be?
I would probably walk away before I even saw it happen. I'm like, I don't want to be an accomplice. I'm going.
He starts running to the edge. She turns and runs the opposite direction.
Who wins?
She's actually the one to make it to the next roof as she flees from her significant other in that case.
So how did things turn out for this idiot?
Well, he fell off the roof.
Oh, okay.
And he got stuck between the two buildings.
That's worse than dying.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So these weren't even like far enough apart where his body could drop.
No, yeah.
Awesome.
All you could have done, if you fell completely straight, you could have reached out and grabbed the other building, apparently.
How did he get
then that would be okay, but yeah. How do you get stuck?
Well, because they were close enough that his body got wedged between them when he fell in the space between.
Oh, I'm picturing.
That's what I mean. You could have reached across and gotten to the other side. That's how short of a distance this was, and he couldn't make it.
This is all I'm picturing, is he goes, I'm going to do it. Ready, set.
Crunch. Yeah. So he fell, and he got stuck in a debris-filled, narrow space. He got wedged in there, and they had to call the authorities. The girl went and called campus police, who called the actual police, who brought a rescue party. Took 4 hours. They had to jackhammer out the wall and break through the wall of the one building in order to get to him so that they could then, like, remove him from his, like, Tetris-like stuck position.
Do you think he went up to her after and goes, hey, so, second date?
Yeah. So how did you like that? Were you impressed? 4 hours I got stuck for. They couldn't even get me out.
Yeah, I didn't even have to call a doctor.
Pretty impressive, right? He was bleeding but conscious when they found him. He waved to cameras as they were pulling
him
away.
What an idiot.
I feel like this is a very overweight person. Is that...
I don't know. I don't have a picture of him here, but...
Well, we can make some assumptions.
Yeah, I am going with that.
Next time, dude, like, try and impress her by something you know you can pull off. Like, maybe, you know...
An eating competition.
Yeah, eating without puking. This is the last time we're going to be mentioning the Olympics now that they are over.
Yay!
Mickey's happy anytime anything ends.
I am.
A sporting event... A game on the podcast.
A movie.
Life.
Yeah, well, God.
Mickey's happy when things end.
Wow.
So, the Olympics are now over, and Team USA, which...
USA! USA! USA!
We killed it, man. We absolutely killed it. Now, granted, Team USA did not do what I asked them to do and get to triple digits by last Wednesday, but they did end up getting triple digits, which no other country was able to accomplish.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The final medal count, unreal. We had 121 medals overall.
Let me take a guess. The second place was really close?
70.
Oh, nope.
Almost.
Double.
Nearly. Almost. We were nearly double the medal count of the next closest country. We had 46 gold, 37 silver, and 38 bronze.
Yep.
We breed highly athletic people in this country.
Where are these people during sports season?
Our school system sucks, so all they have is athletics, and that's where this comes from. That's why.
How many?
81st in math, first in running.
how many of these athletes have part-time jobs afterwards because they can't afford anything
else? Oh, you know
else.
They're all going back to pumping gas after these Olympics are over.
Would you like fries with that? I want a gold.
Yeah, up next was China, 26 gold, 18 silver, 26 bronze for a total of 70. Great Britain was third, 67, 27 gold, 23 silver, 17 bronze. So Great Britain actually edged China out in terms of gold medals, but was under by three in the overall medal count.
One thing I found really interesting was Usain Bolt, the guy you saw in all the memes running. Apparently he wasn't just running in Rio. He was cheating on his girlfriend.
Oh.
And not once, not twice, a lot.
One, two, three mistresses.
You may be thinking, you know, you're a guy going, because we don't like when other guys do well. We're like, good for him. You win a gold medal, at least you're going to lose your girlfriend. According to some tweets, she doesn't care.
Whatever.
Money does a lot.
It does.
What if he's fast in other ways, and that's why she's not impressed? That's what I'm saying. Well, being the fastest man on earth has its downfalls in certain situations.
I hope there isn't any meme about that.
Netflix, 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 and chill. Netflix, 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 and chill.
Turns out Netflix and chill may lead to serious health problems and or death.
Oh, well, that kind of kills the whole phrase.
Netflix can kill you.
You don't say being a couch potato might kill you.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah, it's being a couch. And after we talked about Stranger Things, I'm really... What?
Pew, my mind's blown.
Yeah. Yeah, Mickey's really impressed because she was able to say, hey, being a sedentary turd might be bad for you.
Apparently, that's what they used to call me in high school, the sedentary turd.
Watching too much TV is bad for you because you're sedentary, because you sit around so much. Japanese scientists studied the viewing habits of 86,000 people. This is in news.sky.com. It's coming from space. So
they know.
You know it's reliable news. 86,000 people between 1988 and 1990, they monitored their health over the next 19 years. They discovered that every additional 2 hours of TV per day increased the chance of a fatal pulmonary embolism, that's a blood clot in the lungs, by 40%. 40% wow. Increase, yeah. Those who watched 5 hours or more were more than twice as likely to die than those watching less than 2.5 hours.
Oh, so I'm going to live forever.
Yeah. See, there's her game. She just wants to live a long time.
If that's true, you're going to be like a goddess. You're never going down.
Sorry, she just gritted her teeth like, oh, live a long time.
Yeah, I don't want to live a long time either.
Start popping on that TV.
Yeah.
Hey, start watching TV. You'll die soon. That's what you really want.
No, it's not.
Well, wake up your mind already then. You don't want to die soon or die later. One of those. But anyway, yeah. So binge watching Netflix is bad for you. I'm in trouble.
Death.
You know what? This comes off of this thing I was telling you about the other day, Lazy. I saw this thing on the news that said that this person was talking about how bad sitting down is for you and sitting for long periods of time. And this news story, this health thing or whatever it was, said that you can't undo the damage by exercising that you do when you're just sitting. So you shouldn't sit half as much as you do.
No, I'm paranoid about
sitting at my desk all day. I'm like, I gotta stand, I gotta walk, or I'm gonna die before I'm 30.
No. You see, what it's trying to tell you is, don't bother running, just sit. You can't make up for it, so just go ahead. Die.
So your philosophy then is you can't make up for it, therefore give up.
Yeah, why? You're never going to catch up.
I'm not sure if I endorse that or not.
Yes, you do.
Tell.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you do.
Okay. Next.
Sayonara, Gawker seems this time you done f***ed up.
Oh, man, who knew Hulk Hogan's leg drop to Gawker was actually going to really end the sight? End it for good.
Hulk Hogan is the greatest human being alive.
He is now.
Got rid of Gawker.
Yeah, I mean, I thought... Because obviously the lawsuit was for $155 million, because something outrageous, and then there was $15,000 in punitive damages on top of it. I thought, you know, it was at least going to get the people who were running Gawker out of there. And I know it did sell to Univision. I didn't think the website was actually going to be shut down though, but I guess tainted brand, they had to.
Oh yeah. We've all seen that happen.
Well, that's what you get for being such a bunch of D-bags for such a long time. Because they were, weren't they? They were terrible people at that site.
I think I just avoided the site as much as I could.
For that reason. Right. Yes. I mean, and there's been this whole thing where they keep, and even if you go to Gawker.com, you can see there's three things posted at the top: what Gawker was, what we tried to do, and like their final statement before they shut down. Where they accused that billionaire, that Peter Thiel, who they outed as gay, because that was the whole thing. He funded Hulk Hogan's legal defense.
Good for him.
This is the point that you know they were going about is, oh well, you know, look at this guy, he's a billionaire and he's going after the press and he's shutting down these publications and things just because he doesn't like them. What kind of precedent is this setting? And my point is, he didn't do anything except fund the lawyers. You lost in a legal battle. You lost in a court of law by a jury of your peers. That's where you lost. I mean, you guys could have won that case, but unfortunately, you're terrible people.
Yeah, whatever your original idea was for the site to represent the people and show them the truth, somewhere along that line in that whatever many years, you found a way to become... we're going to stand in people's yards and film them in their house.
Yeah, hey, maybe releasing sex tapes that people didn't give you permission to release. Maybe that's a place you draw a line. You know what I mean? Maybe then this legal case doesn't happen. And then, oh, Peter Thiel funding a billionaire funding his lawyers to take you down doesn't go anywhere because they have no legal precedent to sue you.
Yep.
Maybe there's your problem. I'm just saying... Mickey, your thoughts?
I have none.
Okay.
All right.
Mickey didn't care. She still doesn't care. Gawker's gone. That's
and
good
she's
enough
gonna,
for me.
She's going to live forever because she doesn't watch TV or anything.
Right, yeah. That's good enough for me.
My smile is your misery when you find out. Because I just saw your naked picture on the internet.
There's words in there that say naked pictures.
It just said it right there.
Yeah. So we're talking about, speaking of crossing lines, right? Do you remember the Fappening from a couple years ago?
No.
That's what it was called? Yes, you do. When there was that big hack in August of 2014 when they got into the iCloud accounts of a bunch of celebrities and released their naked pictures.
Jennifer Lawrence was one of them.
Jennifer Lawrence, Anna Kendrick, Kate Upton was another one that had pictures released.
Yeah.
Nope.
They were there.
Okay.
Which corner of the hole were you living in August of 2014?
There's no corners and holes.
You know what? True. I actually thought that as I said it. I said, she won't make that joke.
Nope. You got nailed. Out of all the references she can't make, she made that one.
Damn it. It was a good comeback, too. A very witty riposte on your part. I didn't think you were clever enough to get there. You were, though.
It happens sometimes.
Prove me wrong. Anyway, no, the two guys that were responsible, I guess they found both of them.
Oh.
Do you remember a couple episodes ago we did that Unsolved Mysteries and we talked about how they hadn't found the people who were responsible for this yet?
This was one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember the people responsible for the Fappening? They hadn't found them. Now they did. I'm going to take full credit for that.
Yeah.
A freak accident solved that mystery. We brought attention to it, and somebody went out there and detectived their way to the end of that one.
What have we been telling you? Email us, freaks@afreakaccident.com. If you have a problem, yo, we'll solve it. And you'll get a free sticker.
Just like this. Unreal. They finally got these guys. Andrew Helton got 6 months.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of anticlimactic.
That seems kind of a lot less than he deserves, doesn't it?
Huh. Eh, it's just pictures.
Invading people's privacy, though?
Eh, it's just pictures.
Pictures they didn't want to release, though.
Well, although, you got to add in the stupidity factor of letting them go to the cloud.
Mickey, how many inappropriate pictures of you are there floating around the World Wide Web?
I'm sure plenty.
Wait. Wait a second.
Yeah, no. That,
wait. There is?
I don't know.
Let's go and search.
Anyway, Andrew Helton got 6 months behind bars after admitting he hacked into hundreds of email accounts and stole 161 nude and explicit images from 13 victims. Federal authorities did not specify who the victims were, but we know.
Mm-hmm.
After he gets out of prison, he will also serve 2 years of supervised release. 36-year-old Ryan Collins of Lancaster, PA. Hey. Representing sort of our home area.
Wow, like you live in Amish country and you pull that off. That's, way to go.
That's not how I want to be known, though.
I all of a sudden I'm envisioning the Slim Jim commercial.
Yeah, he was the other culprit involved, guilty. He got a plea deal back in March. So.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, at least they got to the bottom of that one. Again, you're welcome, world. Freak accident, doing good things since January.
Woohoo!
One up star, wings are bobbles, that the exoplanet wobble. One up star, wings are
scientists have discovered a new exoplanet. That is a planet that is not in our solar system. It's around another star out there in the cosmos.
So we're finding a new vacation home.
Yes, basically. And this one actually is reachable because it's only 4.25 light years away.
How long is that?
It is actually orbiting. Light year is the distance light travels in 1 year. So okay. At the speed of light, it would take 4.25 years to get there.
Oh,
at the
okay.
speed of light. All right. It's actually orbiting Proxima Centauri, which is the closest star to us besides the sun.
No, I was just telling you the other day how Proxima Centauri or Sin Cara.
Did you say Proxima Sin Cara?
Yeah, yeah. Does he get injured a lot? No, but yeah. that's my favorite star.
Yeah, that star goes out pretty often. That's how it works.
Yeah, my favorite star.
Anyway, this is interesting because a lot of these planets and things that Kepler is finding and everything else are completely out of reach, just so far out in the galaxy and in the universe that we'd have to board a generation ship to get there.
How are they out of reach if we're finding them?
Because we can see them with our technology.
Okay.
But getting there is another story. They're very, very far. So this one, though, 4.25 light years away, and actually the technology exists. If the Starshot Initiative gets funding, we could get there in 20 years.
Oh, wow. Well, that's at least feasible.
You're talking if they launch a probe within the next, like, 2 or 3 years, assuming none of us die of a pulmonary embolism that we got from watching too much TV, we might be alive to see the first planet outside of our solar system ever.
Oh, that is pretty wild.
And what's interesting about this planet is it exists in the habitable zone around that star, which means it's
livable.
Right, the area where it's livable. Now, granted, it's being bombarded with X-rays from the star because it's a red dwarf, so it's unlikely that there's a decent atmosphere, but they said it's Earth-like. It's similar to Earth's mass. It's going to have solid ground on it, at least. The only question is whether or not there's water on it.
And if you could breathe.
Can you imagine if we send a probe up there and it flies over and there's freaking cities and lights and everything else? Like, there's a whole alien civilization there.
There's another Kardashian.
Oh.
No, at that point,
why?
Nuke the universe, because we can't have any more of those out there. One is more than enough.
There's Kanye as president there.
Can you imagine people who flee from this planet to get away from people like that? They land there and there's more. It's like, great.
Yep.
Great. Well, with life also comes stupidity, apparently. But this is cool. We might actually see this happen in 20 years.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So, Mickey, you might have a way to get away from all of this for good.
I'd just be happy if I could go to the moon. Be fine.
The moon's a harsh mistress, though.
And it's got a lot of cheese. The moon cheese.
There was a farmer, had a dog. Bingo was his name.
B-I-N-G-O. B-I-N-G-O.
So this one's from BuzzFeed. I am an animal lover. I definitely am. Mickey, I know you love dogs. This is just the most adorable thing I've ever seen in my life.
So do I. Lazy E doesn't hate animals, just to let everyone know.
Duke, a dog from Cormorant, Minnesota. Cormorant, Minnesota. I don't know. Was recently elected town mayor for the third time.
Yes! Oh, boy.
He's adorable. He's got a little ribbon that says mayor that he wears around his neck, and he wears a little top hat, too.
I did not hump her leg.
I did not hump the leg of that woman. The 9-year-old Great Pyrenees was first elected as mayor in 2014 with 12 write-in votes and was reelected the following year.
That's a big puppy dog.
Wait, that's not a U.S. citizen. Is that even possible?
He was born in the United States.
I heard that name. I'm going to question it. Where's its birth certificate?
Kenya.
Yeah. Where's the birth certificate?
Where all the secret birth certificates
are. Yeah.
But yeah, Duke became quite a celebrity when he was first inaugurated. And CBS Minnesota covered it. He actually put his paw on the Bible and woofed to accept his office. This is the greatest thing ever. It's so adorable.
How many people live in this town?
Oh, probably like 5.
Okay.
I mean, there's 12 write-in votes. That was enough to elect him mayor.
Okay.
So how many people live there? Probably a dozen, maybe a few more beyond that.
You know, I heard from a reliable source that this dog is actually Muslim.
You know what? Honestly, at this point, I would accept a dog as my president over some of the other choices.
Yeah.
Over all of the other choices.
Literally every politician in the world. Just replace him with dogs. At least then we could be like, oh, look how cute they are.
We're going to die, but this is great.
Who's a good boy who wants a dog treat? Amazing story. The world would be better if it were run by dogs.
Yeah.
We would just, chase cars and...
P.
Yeah.
Up next on A Freak Accident,
figure out the fall premieres, the last one for this year.
Yay!
Yeah. Yes!
You could pay attention to the ramblings of a star-craving mad person. Or you can listen to us. It's basically the same thing, just less bone-crushing depressing. We are A Freak Accident.
It's time again for America's favorite game show, Figure Out the Fall Premieres. And here's your host, Lazy Mick E.
It's the commercials you've been seeing all every week. It's been a long month, very long month. It's the exciting conclusion to Figure Out the Fall Premieres. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
That must be the directional mic right into the crowd like that. You know how to play. If not, man, have you missed an exciting season? You should go to podcast.afreakaccident.com and download all the previous episodes. Then you can hear it too. Join along in the fun. Also, buy the DVD set, which will be sold at amazon.cnn.com. All right? Let's meet our wonderful contestants. We lost one again. I guess he had the same fate as Ian. Thank God. All right. First, it's Crisco. I have a question for you.
Yes?
What's love got to do with it?
I don't know.
Wrong!
It's not a waterfall, though, so you can't chase it.
And our other contestant, if she was a dog, she would be a pug. Mickey!
What?
A pug! So, the way we play this game is we have new shows coming this fall to different networks. I tell you the name of that show, and then these people, along with you, the listener, have to guess what the show's about just by the title of the show. Simple? Don't care. It's the last episode. You won't hear this again until next year. All right. But... they wouldn't just do this for free. There's a wonderful prize that you can win. And why don't you tell them what that is, Brent Roddy?
A copy of Liar Liar 2 on DVD. Ooh. That's right. The sequel to the hilarious 1997 flick takes a serious turn as it simply follows the life of Ryan Lochte during the Olympics. This can be yours if you can figure out the fall premieres.
He is a crazy fellow and you can own that on DVD. If you could figure out the fall premieres. Today's network is CBS. All right? We flip the table in the back, and now we don't have a table. Why this matters at this moment, I'm not sure. So we are going to start with Mickey.
Joy.
Mickey, are you ready to figure out the fall premiere?
No.
You only have 4 to go, and you're done. All right? More enthusiasm. The show is Bull. Figure it out.
This is the ending result of yes or BS.
Oh, except she edited herself. I see. We're family friendly here, all right? Wrong. Crisco.
Yes.
The show is Bull. Figure out the fall premiere.
Bull is about the emergency room in Spain 1 week a year when they do the running of the bulls. And it's just all the Spanish people shaking their heads in shame as a bunch of white people are wheeled in with gore marks in their back.
A bunch of white people. I'm going to say Mickey did come close when she said Bull and edited herself, because this show is actually a drama inspired by the early career of... Whoever has gas, please. We have Beto in the back. It is inspired by the early career of Dr. Phil McGraw, a guy who's totally full of BS, the founder of one of the most prolific trial counseling firms of all time. Point Oprah. All right. Are we all having fun?
No.
Yes.
All right. Or BS. That is another show that will be returning soon. That will be returning soon, and I am the host. God, kill me now. Crisco, are you ready to figure out the fall premiere?
I am.
This show will debut. What is wrong with me today?
Yep.
What is wrong with me? Shut up, Mickey! Okay. I had to tell myself some stuff. All right, this show will be debuting on CBS this fall. It is called The Great Indoors. Ooh, can you figure out the fall premiere?
I mean, obviously, this is about the daily life of one Mickey and her endeavor to never, ever, ever go outside for any reason whatsoever.
Great answer. Great answer. I'm sad to say you're wrong, because that is absolute truth.
Damn.
Mickey.
I really thought this show was about all the people that sit and watch Netflix all the time and their couch potato lifestyle.
So it's about pulmonary embolisms.
Correct.
She was really close.
Oh.
And you'll understand when I tell you what the show is actually about. The Great Indoors, an adventure reporter must adapt to the times when he becomes the boss to a group of millennials in the digital department of a magazine.
So we're going to see our first ever recorded suicide.
If you keep talking, you're going to hear it pretty soon. You're going to hear it pretty soon, but not before I tell you this. Figure Out the Fall Premieres is brought to you by preseason football. That's right, preseason football. Thank God it's almost over. It's Figure Out the Fall Premieres. In case you just joined us, we are in the middle of a heated game. Why is the hand raising? What is so important, Crisco?
I would like to point out, I have not talked once out of turn this entire time. I was going to ask who got the point for the last round, since you skipped that part.
Aaron Rodgers. Done. All right, hang on. We're going to commercial break. Points don't matter. You know this. We're still on? Okay. Hey, you didn't hear that? You didn't hear that at all. Points matter totally. I was talking about the points on my driver's license. That's what that was all about. Nothing to see here, people. Nothing to see here. All right. Mickey, I'm going to go to you because it looks like Crisco's going to die. Figure out the fall premiere for this new CBS show. It's called Man with a Plan. Just say something. I know it's mostly wrong, but you can say something. You either talk when you're not supposed to or don't talk at all.
This is about your life.
Damn straight. Crisco.
This is a reality show about a guy who has to build a house, but he can't read.
There was time. No, it's actually a dad who finds out parenting is harder than he thought after his wife goes back to work and he's left to take care of the kids. Oh, God forbid, you can't be a dumpster dad anymore. Point goes to Eminem, the biggest dumpster dad. Damn straight. Bring it at me. Go ahead. Bring your buddy 50 Cent. Sorry. We're heated. A little heated. We got some beef from the past. I'm Team East Coast, yo. All right. It's the final one. The show is called Pure Genius. obviously about me, but we'll let you take a crack at it. Figure out the fall premiere, Crisco.
It's about a bunch of window lickers on a new medication that helps them lick doorknobs instead.
An Ian-inspired story. Mickey.
It's about a whole bunch of millennials that learn how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Or somebody that lets me finish saying the show before she says an answer.
You said it the first time. I got it.
Do you know what the show's about? Pure Genius is about the producer who said this is the final episode because I'm done. Winner, me, because it's over.
And that was another fun edition of Figure Out the Fall Premieres.
Didn't talk out of line.
Shut up!
Be a part of the show. Go to afreakaccident.com and click on connect. That's afreakaccident.com. Click on connect. Music you can use.
You're goddamn right.
On A Freak Accident.
Because we're your number one source for news, and we're also your number one source for music you should be listening to.
And some of this stuff, yeah, it may have came out a little bit ago, but you know what? We just discovered, especially one band,
yeah,
like, is fantastic, and we want to make sure you are in the know.
It's not always new music that we have on this segment. It's just stuff that we hear, and it's like, hey, awesome. We should share this with the world.
I just like to stop the hipsters before they say, oh, this came out so long ago.
I've been a fan of this song for 12 years.
Yeah, it came out last month.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I was a fan of the guy who inspired the guy who wrote this song. Man.
So glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, lucky you. Anyway, this first song you just mentioned, it's kind of, well, the band is called The Record Company.
It's kind of hard to search. They might want to look on their Google optimization.
Please tell me that their record company is called The Band.
That would be amazing. Oh, my God. Did they miss out on an opportunity?
Somebody did in there, yeah. Somewhere. Anyway, this is their single. It's called Off the Ground.
As soon as I heard this, I was digging it. It reminds me of an old spy movie. Heavy bass line.
Kind of got that feel that we've been getting. It's more like an old school 60s, 70s style song. I dig it, though.
I gotta get myself off the side of the road. I gotta get myself up off the side of the road.
It is funky.
Let me see, Nikki, if you agree with me. Because Crisco did. When I first heard this, the first thing I thought of, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Blue on Black.
Blue on Black.
Not really. I get where you're going with it, but not really.
That's like, it's been half and half when I brought up that comparison. It's really weird. Either you or you don't.
Yes.
Test this new wave of music like this, like the 70s, 60s type of sound, in the way that bars are now more popular than clubs.
Yeah.
This is the type of music you hear at a local bar or just like a sit-down, chill-out-with-your-buddies bar.
I don't know what's causing it, but, you know, you've got Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. You had Kaleo. We played that song some episodes ago, a few months ago, I think. And now you got this one. There's definitely that return to, like I said, the 60s, 70s, the earlier rock and roll, that kind of funky, bluesy kind of rock and roll, you know, even with a little bit of a country twang there to it, kind of, too, to a certain extent.
And almost like they're not trying too hard. They're just kind of chilling out, and I think people, like, relate with that. Just kind of like, they're just having fun.
Yeah. I mean, I like it.
Catchy.
Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts, Mickey?
I like it. I feel like it's an old, like, you know, 20s workers song where you know, you're just marching down the side of the road, going to work, and being like, I gotta sing something myself, I'm gonna go nuts.
Yeah? I mean, I can feel that.
A little bit of a coal miner type of feel, I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure. Do they have an album out?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. This song came out back in February, I want to say.
Oh, wow, so it's been out for a while now.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
I'm surprised that this is the first time hearing it.
They were a slow burn band. They kind of made their way.
Maybe in two ways.
But they, it just slowly picked up. Radio stations are starting to pick it up right now. Just a cool sound. And they're on tour right now, I believe, hitting New York City or New Jersey sometime soon.
Yeah, right on.
Definitely worth checking out.
My spirit is strong and my legs are ready. Gotta get myself up off the side of the road.
I mean, I really like it. It's the record company is the band. The album is Give It Back to You. It's out now. That came out back in February as well.
It was one of those things. This is one of those new bands that had everything come out and let everybody just kind of come to them.
I like it. And the song is called Off the Ground. I guess I'm really, really digging that old school feel that it seems like more and more rock artists are sort of drawing from. I like it. It's different.
It's chilling out.
We haven't heard it in a generation, so it's refreshing to hear it again in the context, especially when set against what music is now, whatever it's become.
Yeah, the good thing is rock is becoming a good mix.
Yeah.
You have that sound, and then you have... Well, what our next song is just going back to the roots.
Well, let's rate this one first. I would give that one a four if I had to rate it from 0 to 5. Be a four for me.
I'm getting all mad. 4.5.
All right, you're going higher.
I'll go like 3.
3?
Yeah.
You did like it, though.
I like it, but it's, you know, something I would listen to like once or twice and then be, you know, background music.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's getting a 3.
Mickey's got a dynamic brain. It's always moving and shape-shifting and changing.
Yeah, we never know what to expect.
You can't pin Mickey down, okay? She is ever-changing, like the wind. You can't trap the wind, Lazy E.
Yes, you can.
You can't cage the frantic butterfly that is Mickey.
I've farted in a jar before, and I've got it. It's a lie.
Now you mentioned the return to roots in the next song.
Oh man, last Thursday when this came on us out of nowhere.
Been waiting almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years for new music from this band. They've been leading us along. They've been talking about, this is going to be the year since 2011.
We're in the studio. We're not in the studio.
We're touring. Going. We're not touring. It doesn't matter.
So they finally turned the page.
It's new music from Metallica.
Frantic, tick, 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 tock, frantic.
He did this when we were listening to this together, and I wanted to die for a second because I wasn't quite sure what it was going to turn into, but boy was I happy when it finally turned over.
Yeah.
It's like a return to their thrash metal roots.
Yeah.
I said as soon as I heard his vocals, which you'll hear in about 40 seconds because it takes forever, but it sounds like Kill 'Em All, the effects they put on his vocals. A lot reminiscent of that.
Yeah. It's old school Metallica, man.
Here we go.
Maybe not.
There we go. I just picture them running down the hallway.
I just want to run down the street just screaming.
I feel like my life needs to be in fast motion to this song. Like, making a sandwich, it's like...
pouring cereal. Like,
then you just rip the box apart, throw it behind you. I actually like the edited version, the clean version, better than when he says the curse words. I don't know why.
Way to be a good little choir boy.
Oh!
thing that surprises me is how short it is. It's only 3.5 minutes long. That's short for a Metallica song.
You kind of have to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sometimes their songs went a little too long.
Fair enough.
This is also their radio premiere.
Ah, yeah.
Get ready for the rest.
Yeah.
Ah, the solo! Thank God that he did that. Kirk Hammett tearing it up.
I'm headbanging, sorry.
The microphone's gonna get hit.
I mean, there's nothing bad about this song. I love the song.
It blew me away. I wasn't expecting it as much as I had anticipation. But the album that follows, November 18th, it's going to blow our mind.
I mean, I was honestly expecting, to be honest with you, I was expecting a stinker.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it was the perfect storm for them to drop just a stinker on. I was going to say drop a load on us.
I didn't mind load. I didn't like reload.
Yeah. But I mean, I was waiting for it to be a stinker because it was the perfect storm. 10 years we've been waiting. I mean, I thought Death Magnetic, I loved Death Magnetic. I actually did. I mean, say what you want about the way it was mixed. It was mixed terribly. But musically, I thought at least it was interesting.
Going in the right direction.
It was going in the right direction, which was backwards from where they had gone. And so I liked it. And I thought it was going to be, you know, 10 years. We've been waiting, waiting, waiting. They've been teasing. It's the perfect opportunity for them to just stink up the place and flatline, but they didn't. They produced that, a return to their roots. Sounds awesome. It's called Hardwired. The new album is Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
No, Hardwired .. To Self-Destruct.
Correct.
Double disc.
Yeah.
How long?
Two discs, 80 minutes of new music.
It's a lot. Then.
So that song was 3.5. That means, like, the next 12 are going to be, like, 15 minutes apiece.
It'd be great if one side of the thing is, like, 60 minutes and the other's, like, 20.
Yeah. It's like, I would love it if one disc is, like, 8 songs and then the second disc is the 9th song. It's just an entire CD's worth of music.
And it's only 1 minute. It's 79 on the other one.
My joke was that it was going to be...
I know what you're saying, but I'd rather it the other way.
You took it the opposite direction.
They waste all that material for that.
November 18th is when it comes out. I mean, this song has me amped for it. I got high hopes.
I know what I would rate it.
The rest of it's going to sound like Zane Anger, and I'm going to want to kill myself.
Shut up!
Rating, 0 to 5?
5.
5. Hard 5.
All right, Mickey, 2?
2.5.
Wow, I knew it.
Firm 5.
I knew it.
You can firm 5 at all you want. I want a 2.5.
Oh, it's a firm 5.
Oh, God.
5 fingers. Cross your back of your head.
You got 4 fingers and a thumb.
Oh.
Man, you are just splitting the hell out of these hairs tonight, aren't you?
I'm good at it.
The queen of semantics over here.
Oh, the phalange game is on. You don't know what phalanges are? Come on, scientists! They're your fingers! That's the medical term for your fingers!
Phalanges?
Yeah!
I'm pretty sure you're saying that word wrong.
No, it's phalanges. Dead serious. P-H-A... Langes. It's phalanges.
I'm gonna go flill myself now. We got a SummerSlam recap with the Doc Chad Matthews coming up next on A Freak Accident.
Reasons to listen to A Freak Accident.
We always go above and beyond in serving our community.
The fact that it's court ordered is irrelevant.
I wanna love you.
Yeah.
The young thing. This is Whale, or as they like to call him, Wale.
I dig this. This is a funky theme song. See, this makes me want to get down, though. It doesn't necessarily make me want to fight.
Come on over here.
I want to just go to the club and have a good time.
Yeah. Drop that beat. Oh, we could dab.
Drop that beat like a suplex.
Hey, Mickey, let's dab.
Your dancing is awful.
What? What? Okay, first of all, we're sitting down, so you wouldn't even know because you can't see what my feet are doing.
Boom, boom, boom.
He's right? doing the sprinkler maneuver. Yeah, yeah. That was impressive.
And then you do the real sprinkler.
That's
up and down.
That song was one of the theme songs for WWE SummerSlam because that was this past weekend. The biggest party of the summer is what they call it. And it was quite an event. New champions were crowned. People were injured. A lot of people were apparently injured. And we've got to, of course, whenever something big in the wrestling world happens, we have to hear from our resident wrestling correspondent.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case
of suffering succotash, son.
Now he's doing the lawnmower.
Yeah, I am.
From WrestlingHeadlines.com and LordsOfPain.net, the Doc Chad Matthews. Doc, good to have you back.
Always good to be a part of this show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure to have you. Now, SummerSlam was a very action-packed, event-filled occasion. Wouldn't you say, Lazy E?
You know what? And, Doc, maybe you can confirm this for me. Everything, like, there was a lot of great pieces to this WrestleMania.
WrestleMania?
I'm not WrestleMania, SummerSlam. It's the WrestleMania of summer.
He's time traveling.
But every match seemed great in this, but it just seemed like it was in an odd order, all the matches.
Yeah, overall, Doc, how do you think SummerSlam went?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it lived up to its considerable expectations, but I thought there was some good. I thought there was some bad. It actually reminded me a lot of WrestleMania this year. I thought it was kind of a mixed bag, but all in all, I mean, I thought it was a pretty darn okay show, I guess. There were some things I liked and disliked, so what more can you say?
Do you think Lazy E's observation that it felt a little bit out of order, do you feel that at all?
Well, I've certainly seen that. He wouldn't be the only person who has mentioned that. I didn't have as big of a problem with the majority of the card as a lot of people have. I think the one thing I didn't like was the order of the last two big matches.
That's what I was saying.
Match. And the Brock Lesnar match, I think, should have been flip-flopped. I thought that for a lot of people that didn't care for the way that Brock Lesnar's match with Randy Orton ended, I think they would have been a lot better off putting that on in the spot that Balor versus Rollins occupied. I think it would have gone over better.
Not only that, you could have had, well, Balor obviously putting the championship as the top billing, but even if they didn't want to do that, the way the AJ Styles and Cena match went and how it ended with kind of a little bit of mystery with Cena putting his never give up wristband on the mat and just walking away, there's an intriguing way to end a pay-per-view.
Sure, I think that given how that played out, we can certainly say that. I mean, I don't think there was any logical way you could have put that on last, given where it was in terms of people's expectations and hype behind it. You know, there were three at least matches on the card that seemed like a bigger deal than Cena versus Styles. I think Cena versus Styles ended up being the definition of a show stealer, but it wouldn't have been able to steal the show if it was the focal point of the show.
Interesting observation. All right, fair enough. Oh, yeah. Well, another match that let's just go into the match that did go last. It was Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. Now, Doc, you had mentioned last week on our show, you had hoped that Randy Orton's stature would maybe lead to a more interesting match with Brock Lesnar. Do you think it lived up to that hope?
Not at all. you know, I think if you actually charted out the 11 minutes and some odd seconds that match actually lasted, I think Brock Lesnar was in control for well over 90% of the match, and it was the same old stuff from Brock. It seems like the only opponent that's allowed to get any considerable offense in against Brock Lesnar is Undertaker. So I was completely underwhelmed by that match, considering what my expectation had been. And it left me with the impression that I am now officially sick and tired of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, everybody, a lot of people. In fact, it's trending online. Stale Brock Lesnar. That's what the big trending thing. It's the same thing. Suplex, 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 F5 done.
Yeah,
that's it now.
So what do you think they do with him from here, Doc?
Well, I think that's what they need to figure out, because as I was watching that match play out, and you put that in the context of how his match with Ambrose played out at WrestleMania, and you put that into context with how uninspiring his performance in the Royal Rumble was earlier in the year, and how the match that he was supposedly going to have at Roadblock, that little WWE Network special with Bray Wyatt, got changed around to a 3-minute match with Luke Harper. It's just like, what in the heck are they doing with Brock Lesnar? What is this supposed to lead to? And that's, I mean, it's tough to say at this point. I mean, from what I gathered by watching SmackDown, it looks like what they want to do is Shane McMahon versus Brock Lesnar, which I could not give a crap about at all. So, you know, I am at this point with Brock Lesnar where I don't know where they're going with it. I know where I hope they go with it, which is somebody needs to beat that guy.
Yeah,
It needs to be somebody from this generation they're trying to push, because otherwise, what was the point of giving him the honor, quite frankly, of being the guy that ended the streak? What was the point? And I think there was a point where they really had an idea of what they wanted to do with Brock as a finishing line for that story that's given us this Suplex City nonsense. But I think it was WrestleMania 31. The whole point was to then put Roman Reigns over, but everything went the way that it went with Roman Reigns, and they felt they had to call an audible. So here we sit, and Brock Lesnar's just kind of meandering about as an unstoppable guy who no one can even get 10% of the offense in their matches against the guy, and it's quite boring. It's time to change something up. I don't know what
Doc,
they're going to do, but I wish they would figure out and do it.
Here's the thing. There's two words, and it's the hottest thing going on in wrestling right now, and it's not even a joke. Heath Slater. that guy, no joke, is probably the most interesting thing going on right now, and that's not downing the product. It's just how much he's become a character.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Admittedly, Doc,
there's a reason why Heath Slater has a job, and you know he's well respected by his peers, and he goes out and he does what he's asked to do, and he does it well, and he maximizes his minutes. I'll give you that. I don't have much more to say about Heath Slater.
Admittedly, but Doc, if Heath Slater was the one to beat Brock Lesnar, your face would melt.
It would. I will admit.
Yeah, you'd be that guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That would be like, to me, rewinding the clock a few years. That would have been like Santino ending the undefeated streak of The Undertaker.
Which so, should have happened.
Wait, what?
So
different strokes for different folks.
We also had the match to determine the Universal Champion, right? The WWE Universal Champion. It was Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. Good match, you know, between those two guys. But then possibly the worst thing ever happened.
I'll tell you this: Seth Rollins at one point was one of the top wrestlers that I loved in the game right now, but now we're on the third wrestler. He's injured.
You know what, though? Doc, I saw you mention on social media, you don't think that Rollins is necessarily a dangerous worker. It's just that it's that freaking turnbuckle bomb that he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that he is a dangerous worker. I think a lot of the risks that he takes are with his own body. But I think the buckle bomb is an obviously dangerous move that, you know, certainly Sting had no business taking with a history of neck injuries and where he was, because it's not something they train for. They don't train to back bump onto something with the kind of unpredictable give of a turnbuckle that's holding all the ropes together. And then the same could be said of doing the buckle bomb on the outside of the barricade. I had someone tweet me asking my more professional opinion on the matter. It's like, wasn't it Finn Balor's fault? Like, no. I mean, it's not Finn Balor's fault. I mean, it's either he tried to brace his fall by grabbing the barricade with his arm first, or he potentially breaks his tailbone and gets a concussion from whiplashing so hard up against the padded steel barricade. So it's just not a move that is safe. You know, unfortunately, they keep taking away Seth Rollins' moves. He's not going to have any left because they already took away the curb stomp. But I think it would be safe to say that move needs to go.
I mean, I just hate that it ended, you know, an amazing push. You even mentioned last week that Finn Balor has had a push that
unimaginable.
Even, yeah, your exact words last week, if I remember correctly, were that even his most hardcore fans couldn't have hoped for what they've done with him. And now to have him hit the top of the mountain, win that title, and have to relinquish it the very next night, that's just sad.
It is. It is. It's very unfortunate. And you can try to find a positive in it. It was almost an unenviable position for him to be put in, to be given the responsibility of carrying the Raw brand as its brand new champion with this new championship belt they created. with, you know, us not really still knowing a whole heck of a lot about the Finn Balor character that we're going to see on the main roster. I think it was a tough position to put him in, and I think he would have done well with it. But it may actually, in trying to find a positive, because I'm one of those big Finn Balor guys, and I've been trying to wrap my head around, God, that sucks. I mean, there's no getting around it. It sucks. But given where it could position him to come back, fast forward 6 months, we're talking about February, you know, a month to 2 months out from the biggest show of the year. And would you have realistically thought of Finn Balor as a guy who could headline WrestleMania a month ago?
No.
I don't think so. I wouldn't. Yeah, and now I think, and I honestly don't think he would have necessarily been positioned for that kind of a spot if he had carried the company for the next few months as champion. I think they were always going to go back to Seth Rollins. I think this just adds an interesting wrinkle to the mix that it's quite possible that Finn Balor, given how it all worked out, that he's going to have a huge amount of momentum when he comes back. Injuries have historically, at the right times, been really good for some people, and this could be one of those scenarios. If it's not, and this was the peak of his career, then good Lord, it's going to go down as a heck of a historical footnote that he peaked at SummerSlam 2016 and didn't even get a chance to run with the ball, almost potentially like a Daniel Bryan scenario, hopefully not to that extreme.
Yeah, let's definitely hope that. We also had the tag title match, which is another big match that happened. They kept the titles on the New Day. So at this point, I mean, in my opinion, I would have thought that if you were going to pull the trigger on another tag team, like for instance, maybe Enzo and Cass or whatever, you would have done it by now. So the fact that they're keeping the tag titles on the New Day, where do you think they're going with this?
Well, based on the way that Gallows and Anderson ended up ending Monday Night Raw, interrupting the Dudley Boys' retirement speech, I guess you could say, I think it still seems likely to me that those are the guys that end up taking belts off the New Day. I don't know. I think I was right there with you. My thoughts going into SummerSlam is that this was the time to pull the trigger. And with them choosing to keep the belts on the New Day, I'm not really sure what they have in mind.
It was because of 1 year. They wanted to do the 1 year, almost an impossible feat to beat. And you know what? We always talk about unpredictability. Well, we all thought the club was going to win. They kind of pulled the fast one on us.
They did. I mean, it almost came across like the guy who was a guest on my podcast on Wednesday, Rich Latta, he said, it almost seemed like it came across like they were just wanting to test the waters of how big of a pop Big E would get for coming back at SummerSlam after having been off for a few weeks. And if that's all it was to them, was an opportunity to test where Big E's at. Big E got a heck of a pop when he came out. So I don't know what they're going to do with the New Day. I think the New Day needs a new direction, though. Their current act, to me, has grown a little stale.
All right, well, you know, yeah, I get that. I mean, it has, but it's still getting a response. But talking about characters, we don't know if this was booked this way or if it was just natural heat. We're talking about Talking Smack, the show after SmackDown. The big moment that's all over social media. Daniel Bryan decides to take a shot at The Miz. And The Miz grew a pair in what may be the best promo ever given since maybe the pipe bomb.
Oh, my God. You know, I hate to say it, but I've had a very busy family day, and the moment I sat down to watch that is when my wife told me we had someplace we needed to go immediately. So I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I've heard about it, but I've not actually seen it yet. And I saw what Daniel Bryan said, and I saw Miz get hot under the collar and start his retort, and that's the extent of what I know about it.
I'll run this down real quick. What happens is, he says, you know, he's an indie wrestler that's afraid and everything. So The Miz comes back and says, paraphrasing, says, well, my careful style is the reason I could wrestle still. That's why I have longevity, is because the way I fight. And he goes, if you really love the wrestling business, you said you're clear, because he said you're not back. Well, Daniel Bryan says, well, that's because WWE says I can't come back. Well, then The Miz comes back and goes, well, then why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls if you really love wrestling? And there was actually, it looked like tears coming out of Bryan's eyes and tears of anger coming out of The Miz.
Fascinating. Well, there's two interesting viewpoints. Both guys have a point. You know, The Miz has gone about 10 straight years wrestling his style and never really getting hurt, never missing any time. Never reached the kind of peak that Daniel Bryan did in terms of popularity, but Daniel Bryan, and I guess if you want to, I don't know, when you guys hear that, whose side do you favor? I mean, I look at it and I think, geez, I mean, I know Daniel Bryan is a hero and we all love him, but he had a chance to come back and modify his style to more of a ground-based game when he got cleared in January 2015, and he came right back, and it's his first match, he's doing diving headbutts again. I mean, what in the world is someone who's had neck surgery doing a diving headbutt? This is one of the best wrestlers in the world who doesn't need to do that, doesn't need to fly between the ropes, doesn't need to do top rope missile drop kicks and add to his bump card. He just needs to tone it down, and you could say the exact same thing about Seth Rollins. Stone Cold Steve Austin brings this up often on his podcast. He's talking about frequently how much these guys are pushing the limits of what the human body can endure. And it makes you wonder, is The Miz right? You know, is someone like John Cena, who doesn't typically push the envelope that much himself up until these last couple of years where he's decided he wants to prove to all the indie wrestling fans that he can do indie wrestling? You know, that style does have its merits. It has longevity. A decade ago, there was an edict passed down that WWE wrestlers needed to tone down their style. And here we are now. We're going back in the opposite direction in a hurry, and these guys are really pushing the envelope. So what The Miz says does have some merit. It's an interesting conversation.
Now, I think there's only one person who could answer this conundrum. Mickey.
How do I get stuck in the middle of this?
but to what you're saying is...
No, actually, I did have something to say about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, look, my brain works. Even though I don't follow wrestling, there is that noticeable difference between knowing that old wrestlers have been around for a long time, you know, 10, 15 years, yeah, they've stand and not really been injured that much, where the new stuff that Murder and I are watching, I see somebody get injured every couple of months.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they're out for a couple of weeks. And I'm like, why is it that the older crew was able to withstand all of this, you know, quote unquote injury, and now you've got these newer guys that, you know, they can't stand, you know, one night without being put out for a couple weeks?
You're right, and that's why The Miz has been able to be champion for what he said on Sunday was 144 days. And, you know, regardless of sides, I think you really have to look at the fact that he was able to elevate that belt through one promo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anytime you can be that fiery and show that kind of passion, that's going to resonate one way or another. What he said is either going to strike a chord in a way that makes people want to see him get beat, or it's going to resonate with more traditional fans that want to see the style toned down so that their favorites are getting knocked out every couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think absolutely he elevated himself, especially, but the title by default.
All right. Well, I think there's definitely a deeper conversation to be had here about this, though, and Mickey brings up a good point. So good job getting in, and with her expert wrestling analysis over here. You get that once a year, apparently, so mark this occasion. We'll be back here a year from now to touch base with Mickey again. Doc, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about SummerSlam and everything that's been going on. I look forward to seeing your reaction on social media when you do watch that promo, though, between Bryan and between The Miz. I can't wait to see what your reaction is. So with that said, let our listeners know where they can find you on social media so that they can share in your reaction.
You can find me on Twitter at TheDocLOP. You can also find my columns at LordsOfPain.net/WrestlingHeadlines.com. And if you want to hear more of my opinions, you can also tune into my podcast, The Doc Says. It comes on every Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/LordsOfPain. So you can find me there as well. And then also, please, if you are so inclined, if you enjoy what I have to say on this podcast, and if you enjoy what I have to say on social media, you can read what I have to say in long form in my third edition of WrestleMania Era, the Book of Sports Entertainment, which just came out at the beginning of SummerSlam week, and is drawing very good reviews. So please check that out as well.
It's an excellent book. I would highly recommend it. Again, it's the WrestleMania era. Doc, thank you so much for being here. We'll have you back again soon from LordsOfPain.net. The Doc, Chad Matthews. Take care of yourself, brother.
You too. Thanks, guys. Thanks again for having me.
Yes, sir. And that will end this episode. Mickey, what do the listeners need to do?
They need to go online and find us at afreakaccident.com. Yeah. They can click connect on the menu bar and find us on all of our social media pages.
Yes.
You can find us on iTunes and leave us a review, and you can also subscribe there. Yes. And you know, get our downloads every week
automatically.
Because, you know, yeah, that's awesome. And then
who wants to track us down every week?
Yeah, that's not fun.
Auto delivery, man.
Stalkers.
And Google Play Music.
Yes, if you got an Android device.
Yeah.
And don't forget to send an email, too.
At freaks@freakaccident.com.
We will solve your problems.
And send you a sticker.
Yes.
Not just that. It'll be, yo, you got a problem? We'll solve it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And problems about anything. Well, you can choose to remain anonymous. That's fine. But we'll give you our first-class advice. And we will, yeah, we will send you a free sticker if you include your address.
I was hoping you were going to join me on the yo thing. That's why I pointed and was kind of disappointed.
Well, you said it backwards. It's if you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. It's not yo, if you got a problem, we'll solve it.
Maybe I wanted to change it.
I wasn't sure if you were
all
mixing
right,
up.
All right,
I was going to let you go, Mr. Creative.
Reverse. If you got a problem,
yo, we'll solve it.
There, edit that in post.
We'll fix everything in post.
Yep, everything good for
it. The bit that we were going to do, we had mentioned it earlier in the show, the five psychological syndromes you've never heard of is getting bumped to next week because we ran out of time.
That's our psychological problem.
I hope one of these is not being able to keep a podcast only an hour long. Yeah. So we'll find out next week, though, when we talk about that and plenty more, and we hope you'll be back for it. Thanks for downloading and listening to this episode. We'll see you next time. For a freak accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you,
some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
'Cause I'm a liar!
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. You're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes. A freak accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A freak accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.